Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I had a very stressful job. I was doing talk radio. It was 3 hours a day of arguing about politics and whatnot, and I was fairly good at it when the ratings were fine, but stressful.
Radio personality Brant Hansen on Focus on the Family Minute.
Well, I thought, you know what, I'll go to law school just to shift gears and do something less stressful. So I went ahead, got into law schools and stuff, got some really sweet offers and stuff. But I was talking to my lawyer friends who said, when you get out of law school, you're going to have to take a job at a big firm. You'll be home one evening a week.
Wow.
And so I took a job that paid almost nothing. And we moved the family down to South Florida at the time. But I was done with work at noon every day. And since we homeschooled the kids, I had every afternoon to play with them. But I know my kids. Mm. And then later on, guess what? My career was fine later on when I had more time.
More insights from Brant at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. You are running for president. You have information which would surely defeat the other fellow. But for you to publicize the information might jeopardize the security of your country. What would you do? Would you speak out anyway and win? Or would you keep your mouth shut and lose? One presidential candidate was confronted with that dilemma, and this is the rest of the story. In 1944, Tom Dewey was running for president against Franklin Delano Roosevelt. If he, Dewey, hoped to defeat the popular incumbent, he would need all of the help he could get. And that summer, help arrived in the form of damaging information against his opponent. A shocked, disbelieving Dewey learned that U.S. intelligence had cracked the Japanese secret code in 1941. To him, that meant the United States knew in advance of the attack on Pearl Harbor, but that FDR did nothing to prevent it. His first reaction was that the people must be told that Franklin Roosevelt, to whet our appetite for war, had allowed the Japanese to obliterate our base in the Hawaiian Islands. And then somehow Army Chief of Staff George Marshall discovered that Dewey knew about the code. September 26, Tom Dewey was campaigning. He was staying briefly at a hotel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He had not yet used his Trump card. Dewey was in his Tulsa hotel room, a knock at the door. Dewey answered. A man introduced himself as Colonel Carter Clark, an Army intelligence officer. He, Clark, had been instructed to deliver a confidential message from George Marshall. In that message, Marshall was begging Tom Dewey to keep silent for the sake of national security. Remember, 1944, we were still at war. For the moment at least, Dewey could think only of Roosevelt's role in the secrecy. In the presence of Marshall's messenger, Dewey blurted out he knew what was happening before Pearl Harbor. Instead of being reelected, he ought to be impeached. And so was Tom Dewey confronted with the most agonizing decision of his lifetime. Disclose the damning information and ruin Roosevelt and win the election and tip our hand to Japan, or keep quiet and lose the election and preserve the state of our national defense. You know that Tom Dewey lost in 1944. Not only did he keep his mouth shut during the campaign, he never ever revealed his knowledge of the broken Japanese code. Tom Dewey has been dead for 2 decades now. Now we have a secret document declassified revealing something Tom Dewey never knew. That the Japanese code was cracked in 1941, but it was diplomatic code, not military code. It was only after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor that U.S. intelligence learned how to eavesdrop on Japan's military plans. The according to that declassified document, FDR had no advance knowledge of the Pearl Harbor attack. Tom Dewey went to his grave wondering whether he did the right thing. You know he did, because you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name's Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen today. And we're going to move to the Cattlemen's right now. We have Anthony Stornetta here. A lot of people know that name. A lot of people know the last name, too. It's been around the community for a little bit. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me here.
And, you know, I originally got a hold of Pete because, you know, to me, and we'll start out here because I think we have a lot to talk about, but to me, the best deal of the fair. I go every year, and yeah. I go to the concert after what year. This year I had tickets 2 months before I knew what the concert was going to be. But Cattleman's Dinner at the fair, I think it's just a great place. You guys usually have, what, 600-700 people show up?
We feed around 1,200.
More than I thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's probably more than that are there.
Right. Yeah, and it's just a great event. You buy your ticket. There's usually wine tasting there. There's beverages, whether it's water, sodas, beer, wine, great steak dinner, dessert.
Yeah, it's pretty good. $40. It's you can drink wine, beer, and have a pretty good steak dinner and hors d'oeuvres.
So right,
pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's hard to get a corn dog at the fair for $40. So, and yeah. Then you know you're supporting a local group. You guys do a lot, and that is that Agriculture Day that day, or what do they call that?
Cattleman Farmers Day, but yeah,
Cattleman's Farmers Day.
Awards for the Agriculturist of the Year, the Cattleman of the Year, the Cattlewoman of the Year.
Right, yeah. And yeah, so it's a great event, and you'll see a lot of people there. You're going to see a lot of electeds, supervisors. And not necessarily, I know Don Ortiz Legg goes every year. So every year I've gone, she's been there since she's been elected. So you're going to see both kind of sides of the aisle, which is great. And it's just more or less, you know, a who's who of the county, in my opinion.
Right, right. And it's a good get-together. I mean, there's a lot of history there. And, I mean, if you talk to Joanne Switzer, and Pete threw me under the bus to be here today, but he was supposed to be here, so I hope he's listening. But right. there's just a lot of history, and I'll cover some of that of how far that goes.
She saved me last year. I called her. I'm like, I didn't buy my tickets. And she's like, you better be here at 4 o'clock at the office.
Yeah. Those tickets are like gold nowadays. I mean, they sell out. They sell
and
out.
And those, do they start tomorrow? Is that when the sales start?
They'll start coming out real soon.
I think I saw yesterday that 10 o'clock tomorrow. I double checked this, but I went on the fair website and I think they said the ticket sales open up tomorrow at 10.
I think I don't want to speak on behalf of the fair, but I think it's the 26th is when the public's going to go on sale.
Okay, maybe I was wrong, but yeah.
But I would tell everyone.
Well, that's still a Friday. It's just next for maybe I messed up on what Friday it was.
I would tell everyone listening, call the Mid-State Fair office.
Right, and it is there. If you look up Cattlemen's, go to Mid-State Fair, or even just put in Mid-State Fair Cattlemen's, it'll come up. And that's what I looked at yesterday. I just might have been looking at that. Oh, it's Friday, but you might be right. It's could be next Friday.
Yeah.
But take a good look at it and get the tickets, because there's only so many realistically. And there's a lot, don't get me wrong. But last year, you know, Joanne's like, I'm going to hold you some, but you better get there.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a whole, well, I know there's not going to be any for sale at the door. So people really need to get on that website in a week from now and get those tickets.
Right. And it's a great day to be there. The fair, you know, I think opens on Wednesday, but it's, if you just want to get there early, piddle around the fair, go see what the kids have made, go check out the livestock, et cetera. Is that the day of the auction?
That's the industrial arts show as well. So yeah, head in there and support the kids as well. They have some great projects.
Perfect. And then so we got that, and I'll probably bring it up because I love that event. It's one of my favorite of the fair, as far as eating and just socializing. I think it's the best event at the fair.
Yeah, agreed.
And it's usually on a great day. You know, it's in one of the big arenas, so you're in shade, and And the cattlemen are actually doing the barbecue. You got a lot of guys out there. You know, you got Dale. Some of these faces you're going to know. You know, you're going to see some of the Ryans. You're going to see Dale. These are all the people from Farm Supply out there barbecuing back in the day. All retired now. So if you miss them, you should come out and say hi. Yeah.
And it's not very often we get the Coasties with the North County and the South County. So we get everyone there.
Right.
The Farm Bureau comes. We get the Negrannies from the coast. And it's that one day. I mean, we probably see more people part of cattlemen's, cattlewomen and Farm Bureau than we do at our spring meeting. So, and they all have a key role. Cattlewomen do a lot, Farm Bureau and cattlemen. We all come together, collaborate, and like I said, feed upwards 1,200 plus people that day.
So. And it is a great meal. And actually, it gets through pretty quick. There's usually, what, like 4 to 6 lines, and you get through pretty quick. You better get a table.
Yeah, you better get a table,
One year, I was talking to people, didn't get a table. I ended up eating out in the stands. I was,
And there are some changes to the timeline this year as well. So if you want to talk about that and some history at some point.
Yeah, no, I think we go right into that. And I thought, history is kind of one of what I wanted to hit next. So I think you're right on point. Let's go.
Yeah, and a lot of this history is, you know, stuff we've all written down from some of the people that, you know, no longer with us, like Dick Nock, Jerry White, that kind of carried the ball for a long time. Now we have Joanne and Pete to bounce stuff off of that kind of know that history. But it started way back in 1953 was the first year of the Cattleman of the Year. It was Asa Porter at that time. And what they used to do is it was the county fair, San Luis Obispo County Fair. It wasn't the mid-state fair, state fair. It was the San Luis Obispo County Fair.
Okay.
And what they do is give Cattleman of the Year award right at the beginning of the rodeo. They did that for about 9 years, and then they started doing Cattleman of the Year during the intermission of the rodeo. And it wasn't until late 80s, early 90s, Maynard Potter was there, Joanne, Dick Nock, and they moved over to the Livestock Barn. If you remember, the Little Madonna restaurant used to be there in the grass area.
Yeah.
It's no longer there. So people have been around a long time remember that. But that's where they did it then, too. And then soon after, the agriculturists and the cattlewomen were all brought in together, and it remained in the livestock area from there. But yeah, I mean, this year in 2026 marks 65 years that they've been doing Cattleman of the Fair or Cattleman of the Year at the fair. And you know, what's ironic is I went through a lot of old articles that we have boxes of storage. We had a storage shed for cattlemen, and I found some of those actual documents of when they handed the award from 1963 on. Yeah, it gives all the explanation of who it was, what they did. But yeah, we have all those documents, so it's some pretty cool history.
Right, it is, and it sounds like it's, or it has, it's just kind of morphed into its own event. That day is pretty much, you know, it's agricultural day, but you're going to see, you know, like you said, the cattlewoman of the year, the cattlemen of the year. I think they do a cattle person of the year, or is it just a two? I don't remember. I can't.
Cattlemen, cattlewomen, but the cattlemen has been females as well. So
no, it has. I think was it last year or the year before?
Jill Healy.
Yeah, it was Jill Healy. Yeah. So. Yeah, and it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of great speakers, but yeah. Beyond that, I mean, I kind of want to get into what you guys do and kind of just explain to people, because I think I don't think that people really know. Like, there's a lot of different faces over there. I've worked with the Cattlemen's Pack over the years, helping with different things, and I'm not even in the group, but and maybe I should, but I only run like 3 to 6 heads, so it's not that.
Oh, no, we'll take everyone.
All right.
Yeah.
But what's out there right now? I mean, what do you want to kind of tell people about?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you about the San Luis Obispo County Cattlemen's. It was first initiated in 1943, so it's been around for a long time. We've always been pretty much the largest organization in the state. So currently, we're the largest organization by double over any other county in the state. I feel we're, and I think most people in our association feel that we're one of the most active associations. We've had 3 state presidents, so John Lacey, Kevin Kester, most recently Steve Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 2 national cattlemen presidents. So again, John Lacey and Kevin Kester went on for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which is pretty big as well. We've had numerous state officers, committee chairs. And when I talk about committee chairs, I mean, there's the fire committee, there's tax and tax, there's a tax committee, there's a membership committee. So our people remain active throughout the year. And on top of that, we're heavily involved in policy and working on assembly bills, Senate bills. I know there's numerous of us that travel to Sacramento to work with our legislator, both on the Senate and assembly side. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, is like Cattleman's Day, you have to come together. And for us up there, we can't just rely on the Republicans to get something passed.
Oh, yeah.
There's certain Democrats that we'll go to as well. And we have great relationships. There's a lot of transparency. And I think a lot of people know that only 2% of all the Americans are some type of ag producers. That's right. It. So we have to rely on each other to push some stuff through. And there's a lot of policy we're working on now, too, we'll probably hit on as we go through this as well.
Okay. And then, you know, I think one thing people don't always realize, this area is huge in cattle and horses, for that matter. I mean, that, to me, I think people always go, really? And I'm like, you know, we're driving, you know, how many events center, how many things are here? I mean, right. just around Western horse, right? And but cattle, I mean, people forget, you know, the Hearst's own mm-hmm. two giant ranches,
right?
And there's a lot of people out here, you know, you look at that are, you know, 5,000 to 20,000 acres that people don't just realize it's right here in their backyard.
Yeah, there's a lot of ground out here. I mean, once you get out of the urban areas, I mean, there's San Luis County's pretty big. So I mean, if you go way back in 1953, Gordon Davis, one of our old presidents, he brought in the PRCA for the first time ever. He was a big rodeo guy. He went to Mississippi, saw barrel racing for the first time, and he brought it to the San Luis County Fair. So that was the first introduction. So yeah, rodeo, cattle, it's been a big thing. There's quite a few NFR qualifiers and NFR riders, and I know everyone knows those names, but they've all come through here. So like you said, you get out and there's a lot out there.
I mean, there's some eventing. I mean, there's just actually, not getting into an eventing, I was actually thinking, my mind's just going blank on me, but anyway, regardless, and I think the fairgrounds just last week were having some great events actually. So and we have a lot of ground out here, and even to, you know, for me, my family's been around here for five generations, and our family reunion was always on Pioneer Day. And there's some great Gymkhana every year right at the fair that people don't even realize is going under right under their noses, you know?
Yeah. And it's good for the kids too. They have a bunch of kids events. So.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen some excellent cutting events here, and a lot of local people don't realize. There's some good cowboys here that know how to, you know, for me, cutting to me is the ultimate. I love it. And so going down there, and you don't realize you can just sit right here in this county and multiple places and see some great events.
Yeah. I mean, you got some national names that are here, Morgan Cromer, Philip Rawls. I mean, I know I'm forgetting a lot of other ones as well, but there is a lot of people that bring a lot of
what's been interesting to me is watching Doug's grandson grow up. That guy's turning into a cowboy. I mean, he's just, he's going to be with something to be reckoned with, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of these kids that are in high school rodeo right now that are going back to Texas, and you know, they're competing a lot,
right?
And they're doing really well, really well.
And you know, to me, and I want to segue into this because we're getting late in the year as far as this, but you know, grazing, fire prevention, mm-hmm. that's a huge thing here.
It is a huge thing, and it's something that's easy, it's natural. If you look at carbon footprint, you're not running mechanized equipment, and that's something we've preached for a long time is, you know, there's nothing better than grazing. And when being in the fire service for 30 plus years, is there's been numerous times where grazing saved my butt, and actually other people as well, where we've gone to an area that was grazed to watch the fire come through, and we moved on. But there's nothing better than that. And then when it comes in our urban areas, where we choose to stop it is usually in those grazed areas. We can get dozers in there. We can get crews in there. Aircraft works good in those areas. When it hits the structures, nothing's going to stop it. So those open ground, these ranches being open like they are, that we absolutely have to have that around our cities and our urban areas.
Oh, yeah. And I know for me, you know, really what I run out there is mostly Mexican horned cattle. So mm-hmm. Texas, so we got Corianis. I mean, that because I have a lot of brush. So that is my management. They are my weed eaters, because they'll get in there in the heavy brush and the thicker stuff and kind of strip it. They're not going to eat it down to the ground, but they're going to strip it. They're going to bed down in it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole cycle goes on, because then, you know, they're out there, they're fertilizing, they're bringing in better protein to the ground, etc. And it's worked for me out there. Slowly but surely, I will say, you know, thank you to Cal Fire, because we had a grant out there. They came out there, Eric came out there with his bulldozer, and they ground some stuff into the ground. I was like, man, I just bought all these cattle for this purpose. But
yeah,
they're keeping it down.
Yeah, and going back to your brush there, is, I mean, what the cattle are doing, they're removing what we call ladder fuels, those light, flashy fuels that grow into the brush. So it won't go into the brush and take off. There's some places, and I'll give you an example. Chimeneas Ranch last year, they hadn't been grazed in quite a while. There's minimal grazing. It burned 18,000 acres in 48 hours. Wow. I mean, there was so much decadent fine fuels out there. You couldn't even put firefighters out there. So we want to try eliminating that and getting grazing back on. The other spot is we want to make sure we can get back on these Forest Service permits and graze those, because many times we see it come off our federal lands, and it's coming off with a head of steam. And much like the Gifford Fire, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, what was that, Garcia Ridge up there? I watched it from my house, and it was scary. You know, it was just like, wow. And it was interesting, though, because when it got over to, like, High Mountain, you watch this giant just flames coming for days, and I would go out every night and kind of watch that fire. And it was close enough to make me nervous, but I'm on the next ridge over. But that thing just came so quickly and then just stopped. I mean, the second night, or the first night after it hit High Mountain, it just, there was a couple little spots, and it was done. But it went from this just inferno. I mean, I have some pictures that are insane, you know?
Probably a lot of aircraft putting retardant in front of that thing, too.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they had days to sit there up there at High Mountain and cut in with dozers, et cetera, because they were going to let, you know, that national forest burn. I think they said it had never burned before in recorded history.
That's correct. Yeah. And you mentioned Cal Fire real quick, and I had this in my notes as well. Is they're very proactive. They put a lot of funding, and I didn't work for Cal Fire, so I'm not putting a plug for myself, but they've been very proactive with prescribed fire funding, and just the Range Improvement Association, they've been very proactive. So I want to give some kudos to Cal Fire for being, you know, in the forefront and working with the cattlemen.
Oh, yeah. And I think they've been pretty proactive. I know they hit, out where I'm at, they hit every ranch out there. And I know it was a state grant, but they came in there and really, I'm in a, you know, there's a lot of chamise out where I am. And it's very, like, it's an 800-foot drop to the river from my house. So if it comes up that hill, you know, there's a reason I graze what I graze, because that's my buffer. I got a couple hundred acres of buffer if it comes up that hill.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And you got to slow it down somehow.
I know. And I may or may not have put a helipad at one of the higher points, because I was like, you know, they were offered, like, I think Cal Fire was like, well, we might want to do something out there. And I'm like, oh, what if I just do it? And then, you know, if you need to stop and have lunch or fuel up, or,
you know, they say you build it, they'll come.
So right.
That's not a bad hit right there.
And they haven't come yet, but I figured it's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back with Anthony Stornetta from the Cattlemen's. If you have questions, the phone lines will be open, and we'll be right back with more Sound Off.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Susan Lee, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher for the shortened trading week, with tech stocks leading the charge on U.S.-Iran deal optimism. Markets are closed tomorrow for the Juneteenth holiday. Falling oil prices are easing inflation worries, with West Texas Intermediate crude settling at around $75 a barrel. Surging chip stocks driving the Nasdaq's rally today. Shares of Intel rose nearly 11% after President Trump said that Apple agreed to work with the chip maker to design and build chips in the U.S. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly higher, led by NVIDIA and Amazon. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Home Depot, and Sherwin-Williams. The Dow decliners, IBM, Amgen, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow up 72 points, the Nasdaq higher by 496, S&P 500 up 80. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunshop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
Sign up now for Tips from the Master, a trainer's trainer, Gary Whiting, who has trained Olympic and extreme athletes Sunday, July 19th at Kennedy Club Fitness starting at 2. 40 years ahead of the science, you'll learn about nutrition, intestinal cleansing, and lots more. Learn from the master, Gary Whiting, the formula for the optimal lifestyle and the 7 laws of radiant overall health. Tips from the Masters, Sunday, July 19th at Kennedy Club Fitness starting at 2. Find out more info at GaryWhiting.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name's Eric Gorm, filling in for Karen Veeley today. And right now we're talking cattlemen. We're talking kind of all things. And really what I want to get into is kind of the work. I don't think we kind of went into legislation and kind of grazing, etc. But there's one program that really interests me, and I don't know that enough people know it exists. And that's the Ranch Pass.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, the fire we had last year, it was a little way. I was one block out of the evacuation zone, so one section. I remember thinking, man, I should have done that. You know? And I was out there, literally, I went into one of my greatest pastures, I opened up to another pasture, put water out, and I was like, okay, they can get the feed, and they have a grazed out pasture. And I left them, I locked them in there, it was kind of offsetting for a little while, just so it would be a little overgrazed, because it's only about a 40-acre pasture that I was going to, I'm going to lock them in here. It's going to be grazed out, and then I can open up to 160 acres if they need to get out. Because if I got to leave, they got to eat, they got to drink. And I brought in about, I don't know, I think I brought in 10 troughs, filled them all up in a circle pen, just masticated everything around it and said, okay, if I got to leave, this is what I got to do, because you might not be allowed back. But I'll let you know more about this than I do.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you a little bit about it. And luckily, I was part of this from the ground up. Myself, a gentleman from Ventura County, and then Kirk Wilbur from the California Cattlemen's, we actually authored what was AB 1103. We pushed it through as a livestock pass. It hit Sacramento. We started working with the assembly there at that time, and then there was some pushback from the vintners, mostly Sonoma County, because they had a recent fire up there where no one could go in and pick. So what was put in as an ag pass actually got pushed out as a livestock pass only. But at that point, it came out, and each county could adopt it, and they could adopt it as an ag pass or a livestock pass. So Santa Barbara County was the first one built. I did that one down there, and then multiple counties kind of copied that one, and worked with San Luis County. Again, Cal Fire took the lead on it, wrote it here, and they have one as well for the ag pass. And what it is if you're a producer of, you know, marketable crops, row crops, or livestock, it allows you to go in when it's safe. I mean, whoever the jurisdiction is still can deny it, but for the most part, you have first access over anyone else. It allows you to go in, check your livestock, water your livestock, and on the other hand, you can turn on some water for your trees or row crops, whatever it is. You are not able to go in there and do structure defense. You cannot stay in there to do other things. That is what you're there to do. What it also helps for, and I've leaned on ranchers when we go across the nation for fires. I lean on ranchers all the time is, hey, where's the old dozer breaks? Which way's the wind usually come? You know, where's your water sources? Because the firefighters need you as much as we need them. You know, it's a partnership, and bringing that together, especially at night, you show up somewhere. If I go to Sonoma at 2 o'clock in the morning, I have no idea where I'm going, where the water is, what the winds are. You know, did the fire stop on this ridge at one point? We need all that information. So, and the ranchers and then the local landowners can let you know that information.
And interesting. I mean, for me, like, I'm not that far from the CDF on Park Hill. And I've made it a point to know those guys. Mm-hmm. And but when there is a fire like that, the roads, there's a good chance there's somebody from Ventura blocking off your road. They don't know who you are. You may Right. think you know everybody,
yeah,
and they know you're the rancher down the road, and they might let you through. But generally, those are the guys that are going to be fighting the fire or running
yeah.
The crews, etc.
Right. My motto used to always be trust builds relationships, relationships build trust. So if you get to know your local fire officials, I mean, that means everything. Because on a large fire, if you look back at that Chimney Fire, 58 fire for us in Santa Barbara, you could have LAPD there. Mm-hmm. You could have Arcadia from somewhere else, and they don't know you. And same thing with CHP is they block off roads as well. It may not be your sheriff, because a lot of us build relationships with the sheriff.
Right.
But it's just knowing the locals. And there's an Ag Pass class. It was already put on in May. It's an 8-hour class. So if you meet all these marks through the Ag Commissioner, that's where you apply through. And if you meet all the intent of the application, then you have to attend a class and they'll give you an Ag Pass.
Okay. Yeah. And then I actually had somebody ask me this question. I was talking to a few friends last night, and they I told them you were going to be on. We've been talking about some of this. And there was a question I had two people over at my house last night. We were barbecuing, and they both run ranches. Mm-hmm. They don't own the ranches.
Correct.
So what their question to me was, what they wanted me to ask you is, can they get one of these? Because they have owners that aren't from here.
Yes. Yeah, so ranch managers can do it. And it says right in AB 1103 that ranch managers can get it. And also when it happens, because we know people miss classes, they'll hand out temporary passes as well. So let's say it's someone else that's helping, or you bring in three people because one trailer is not going right. to do everything. You can get temporary passes for multiple people. And it's really nice, too, is with Santa Barbara and San Luis County, they've talked. And a pass from Santa Barbara County will work for San Luis, and a pass from San Luis works for Santa Barbara, yeah.
Nice.
So there's things. We know that not everyone's going to get the class. And so there's measures in place when it's safe that we can help accommodate.
Right. And that's a once-a-year class?
It's a once-a-year class. And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I wish there was a lot more people that were going to the class. This year, Cal Fire planned for at least two classes, and they only put on one, only because that's all that showed up.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there that should be taking it, because when the time comes, they're knocking on your door to get in. It's like, she should have took the class. It would have been nice.
Right. And, you know, I mean, and there's probably a lot of people listening out there, but this isn't always an easy thing. Like for me to leave, it's like, what do I do with my dogs? I can take my herding dogs. I can't take my livestock dogs. Mm-hmm. They won't go. And you don't want them there. You know, yeah. I had one get hurt last year and like two deflated lungs, etc. And the vet's like, can you come pick it? Like, they don't like it here. You know, yeah. Like he's half dead, but he's not enjoying himself. And we don't really need those problems. And some of those dogs, I mean, my dogs are working dogs, period. Mm-hmm. They don't go in the house. They don't, you know what I mean? They're, and it's hard. Like when you got to leave, I was thinking about that last year. Like, man, if I have to leave, I have to leave. Like, I can take the herding dogs, they'll go and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because they're more like pets than anything else. But the big dogs, they're not. They don't even want to go in the car.
Right.
You know?
I have one of those. Yeah.
Right. So these Ag Passes actually maybe give you a chance, you know, if it's safe to actually get in there mm-hmm. and kind of take care of business, kind of take care of more than just cattle or more than just horses. It could be a little bit of everything. You know, you got chicken. I mean, people have all kinds of things, goats, sheep, etc.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would highly encourage, you know, when I heard about that a few years, I was like, wow, that's just a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the Ag Commissioner is the one that oversees it, and the applications are put in through them, and I believe they get a committee with Cal Fire and review the applications.
All right, and we talked about a few things. Is that like hand in hand or the same thing as the Ranchers Liaison Program?
That's something new. After the Gifford Fire, there's been a few fires where we've been trying to figure out and putting maps together and contact information, because a lot of times it's hard to get contact access points and things like that. So the Rancher Liaison Program actually takes it one step further. That's something I presented to a Cal Fire. They had a big conference in Riverside this year. A lot of their executive was there, and we're working on stepping that up one more notch, just for the ranchers themselves. Okay. And for the cattlemen mostly is what we're looking at. So we're working on a whole nother program. We're going to do a beta program this year across the state, and then from there, maybe look at some legislation coming down the line, but that one's in its infancy right now.
And then, and let me ask you this. I mean, we're going over a lot of this stuff, but if people want to find out more, I'm sure you have a local website, you have different things that people can look out for and kind of go explore a little bit.
Yeah, there's a Facebook page, but I mean, I would say reach out to myself or any of the board of directors if they need more information, and we'll try to give them as much as we can.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're always, we want to, that's one of our big things is outreach and education. So, I mean, we're not hiding anything. If you want to know something, just reach out to one of the directors and we can.
All right. So, yeah, you can start there. I mean, if you want to go to the Facebook page. And a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of big names in this county that are either on the board, we're on the board, et cetera. You know, I think it's not that hard, but I guess there's a lot of new people moving in. So maybe it's a little harder than we think, you know. Yeah. But when you've been here your whole life, it's like, oh, no, I'll just call Pete, or I'll just call, Ben, or whatever, whoever it is.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll give a plug for cattlewomen as well. I mean, you want to talk about some advocates that are deeply engaged in promotion of beef and products. And I mean, they're advocating all the time, and then they won some awards this year as well. Is, you know, reach out to the cattlewomen as well and ask questions. I mean, we communicate quite often, and we're always talking. So I'd say hit them up or us, and we'll get something going. But they're very, very active in the community.
All right. And I do have a question. I've been looking at this technology for a while, and I've been skeptical of it, to be honest with you. I've never been around it. I haven't gone and looked at it. I see it online every once in a while. But it's the new collars, the GPS collars. And, you know, what got me, and I'll tell you what got me about it when I first saw it, it's like, it has an 80% uprate. One of the ads I saw, and I was like, well, that's my fences. They go down. Don't get me wrong. Especially in wintertime, you get a storm. I got a lot of big pines. It'll take a fence out. And I was like, is that? So I'm interested. I want to know your take on this.
No, I think there was a lot of skepticism right off the bat. I'll just be honest with you. But I think the more we found out about it and found out what a good tool would be, there's a lot of us that got involved in it. And I bought some collars as well. At our spring meeting this year, we had some users in our county, some cattlemen come in and talk about, you know, the successes and the challenges of each collar. I can say personally, those collars, they're working great. I mean, at any point, I can pull up my phone and look at and know where everything's at. The collar technology is going to get even better. They're going to be able to tell at some point, you know, body temperature. So if you have bulls out there, they'll show where the bulls are working and making sure everything's covered. And there's going to be a lot of technology. One of the collars right now just went Starlink, because some of them, they had to have towers to communicate and get reception. Now with Starlink, that eliminates that. But there's a few different collars out there, and I would say there's probably a dozen of us cattlemen in this county that are using them and playing with them.
Okay, and what are you enjoying out of that technology? I mean, what is the things that really stick out to you?
I think for me is, you know, you just kind of know where they're at all the time. I have them on a place right now that doesn't have good fence at all. So you put them in a training pasture for 30 days, they get trained on it, and then you turn them out. And this place has, the fences are probably 50%, and it works really good. But on places that do have good fence, you're looking where your cattle are at, how they're moving, and it's kind of neat to know the trends, because before, you didn't know where they're at and what they're doing. And on some big places, it took a while to check them all, and now you can just look, and each dot on there has a collar number, and you assign it an ear tag, so you know exactly who's doing what.
Okay, yeah, and that is good information, and people don't realize, like, I was out one day, this a couple years ago, before CDF came in and did the mastication project, and I had some really, really thick areas, and I remember I couldn't, small little paddock, is probably a 60-acre paddock, I can't find four cows, you know, four heifers out there somewhere, I can't find them, and I'm about ready to give up, and I'm like, okay, I got to start checking fences.
Yeah.
And I look up and I have a picture of it, Cyril, somewhere. There's this little cow head up in the chemise. I'm like, oh, you know, but something like this could have saved me an hour of walking around, trying to run around on a quad and figure out where these things are.
Yeah. One of our ranches we lease, it backs up to a 55,000 acre ranch. So if I don't see something for a month, I'm like, oh man, it must be over there. But now I can just look at it and see, oh, okay, no, it's just, right. I missed it.
So. Last year I was up in the Sierras and my neighbor calls and he's like, oh, your beast of burdens are out. There's at least three of them out running around. I said, oh man, and I'm 4 hours away. Call my neighbor. He's like, oh, my renter's up there. Let me call the renter. He doesn't know anything about cattle. And but if I would have had that, I could have actually helped him a little bit, because literally he goes, he takes a picture and he goes, here they are. And I go, is the gate open? He goes, yeah. Shut the gate. Like they had put themselves away.
Yeah. But, you bring up a good point. I got a call once too that they are out, and I just looked at my callers and no, it's not ours. Ours are all accounted for. But one more thing for the callers is it's hard to get on Forest Service permits just because of the NEPA and everything involved. And if a fire goes through there, it's hard to get back in, because even just fixing fence and putting new fence in, you have to have NEPA. Mm-hmm. And some of our ranches here locally have been trying to get back on permits for 10, 20 years. With the callers, I think that's an avenue for us, because now you no longer need fence. You don't have to go in there and disrupt the ground. The callers can go in. And with the callers as well, if I want to push from one field to the next, I just move my field and shorten it and smaller, and I'll push them up that way. So it'll send a tone to the callers to push them up. And if we're doing that on our forest permits, it's going to be even better. So we're hoping some of the federal government, you know, starts relaxing stuff and we can use that.
All right. Well, we're going to take one more break. We'll come back with the last section. And I think we have a little bit more to talk about, a few more questions, and kind of want to get into what you guys are doing with the younger generation. So we'll be right back with more Sound Off. Stay tuned.
We get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
This June, embrace the flavors of the season at Allegretto Wines in Paso Robles. Enjoy the hot weather seasonal wine flight, a refreshing collection of white and rosé wines perfectly suited for warm afternoons and sun-filled days. Featuring five beautifully crafted releases that capture the brightness and elegance of the season. Set against the stunning backdrop of Allegretto Vineyard Resort, it's the perfect place to sip, savor, and unwind. Reserve your tasting experience today. Visit AllegrettoWines.com.
And welcome back to Sound Off. We're talking with Anthony Stornetta from the Cattlemen's. Again, thank you, sir, for coming in. And before we get into it, I kind of want to get in because I know you guys are doing stuff with the younger generation, but I just want to remind people of the Cattlemen's Dinner coming up at the fair, just yep. so people know what to look for and what it's about.
Yep. July 16th is Cattlemen's Day. And I want to say on the backside of that, the heifer sale is July 24th and the livestock auction's 25th. So the 16th starts at 4 o'clock. Between 4 and 5 is happy hour. 5 o'clock's the program. And then when the program's over, probably about 5:30, 5:45, 6 will be dinner.
Okay, so it's a little different. Usually, before past years, it was dinner and then the program.
Yeah, and what we're trying to do is, you've been there numerous times, it's loud, not a whole lot of people are listening, so we're trying to change that up. We really want people to be there for the nominees, for the cattlewomen, cattlemen, and agriculture here. We really want them to pay attention. That's why we're right. there, and it seems like we've kind of lost that, so we're trying something new this year to really focus in on them.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, and that should be it should be good. You know, by that time you'll have an opportunity to grab your seat, and then it's easy peasy after that, I guess.
Yeah, and I know I mentioned earlier, but there's a lot of collaboration from the Mid-State Fair staff, Cattlewomen Farm Bureau, and Cattlemen. So a lot of work goes in behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah, and so kind of getting back to the Cattlemen's, just I guess the question I have is kind of outreach. What you're doing with the younger generations, because to me, agriculture, especially in California, it's almost like a dying breed of people, and I think there are still some great families, some great people doing this, but people don't see it anymore. I think they're so detached. I did a radio show a couple of years ago on rodeo, and I did it in San Luis Obispo, and you should have seen the response I got, because it's just like, we don't want that here, and you're, but kind of wondering what you guys are doing, what kind of programs you have set up.
Yeah, we try to do as much outreach and invite the younger generation as we can. Spring meeting to all of our board of directors meetings, the young cattlemen from Cal Poly are always invited. Actually, we had three people there last night. Zach McFarland, Aaron Lazanoff oversee that program at Cal Poly. And Cal Poly has a really robust young collegiate cattleman. This last year, we have our convention up in Nevada, and they sent 40-plus kids up there. And that's every year. And they outnumber every college there is in the state. But we try to get those kids involved. They help us quite a bit on events, and then we'll go down there and help them for their bull sale and things like that. But if we don't get hold of these young kids, then we're gonna, like you mentioned, we're going to lose it. And so many of the landowners now that were either farmers or ranchers, is the kids are seeing it as, hey, it's easier just to take the money because of urban sprawl than work as hard as my parents did. So we want to keep that alive. And mentioned earlier, only 2% of the people are in agriculture nowadays. So we really have to communicate. Again, cattlewomen do a lot of advocating for us too, but we try to get the young people involved as much as we can.
All right. Do you guys reach out to the general community at all, or any programs like that? Or
I would say at the fair, we'll set up a booth and stuff for that during Cattlemen's Day, but not a whole lot beyond that. But okay. I think a lot of the kids taking livestock at the fair, they'll see us and talk with us and want to learn more. And I think a lot of people get involved because of that.
Right.
That's probably about it for cattlemen.
Okay. Yeah, and for me, I just kind of see this disconnect in agriculture in general. I don't care if it's your food. I don't care if it's cattle. Whatever it is, there's a huge disconnect in really in our country.
Yeah.
And it's kind of too bad because it's what we kind of came from, and now we're getting pretty far away from it.
Right. And a lot of stuff here is local raised. So food safety is, that's the biggest priority. Food safety and animal husbandry, those are the two biggest things for any cattleman out there. And I know that's priority of the public, and they should know that, we don't want to lose our cattle. We don't want them to have disease or sickness. I mean, we're losing money. And the other side of it is, we're taking care of our ranches, sustainability, water retention. Mm-hmm. Those are the open spaces. You look around San Luis and around here, the places that everyone's hiking, those are ranches. Those are cattle ranches. So we want to take care of, we want to make them last for generations. And sometimes that's the outreach we have to get, is people think we're just out to make money. It's like, there's a reason this ranch has been here for 150 years.
Right. Yeah. And some of those are lean years. Mm-hmm. And I think, interesting. It's, I got a couple different things going through my head. I apologize. But as far as the younger generation, are you seeing, you know, people signing up? Are you seeing them interest, I guess what I'm saying, especially here on the Central Coast? And
I think so. And I think the reason why is we have Cal Poly in our backyard, and there's so much agriculture. They're so focused on agriculture that it really helps us out. There's kids that I know personally that I thought would never be in agriculture, and they want to be vets. And I would say one of our number one priorities, you know, for producers is large animal vets. There's such a shortage. And to see some of these kids going that way, and they raise livestock, and they've reached out to cattlemen, they've been a part of Young Cattlemen's, and to see them go that route, that benefits us, you know, for many years to come.
No, it does. And I just got reached out, a friend of mine that's up in LA County, his daughter's going to Poly, and he's like, you know, any large animal vets she can tag around with this summer? And I was like, oh, let me make some phone calls, you know.
Yeah, and we need them. We need them bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's an invaluable service. And people don't realize, you know, it's not your chihuahua that you're taking down to get a shot, you know. And most of the shots are handled in-house, but animals get hurt. Things happen.
Right.
And you need that vet to be able to come to you, which is it's just a fact of life out
Correct.
There.
Yep.
So what are you seeing trend-wise? Anything interesting happening?
Other than that stuff, I mean, our big one right now is wolves is kind of first and foremost on the radar. And again, going back to the outreach.
And they're showing up.
Oh, gosh. Outreach and education is, we need to teach people that, you know, there needs to be a balance. Last year in 2025, over 100 calves and cows were killed. Maybe people don't know that, but that's a huge loss up in Northern California. There's 12 packs. We've had a wolf come through San Luis County. There was one in LA County.
Now,
yep. Tulare County is a pack. I mean, it used to be 7 packs. Now there's 12, and they just keep growing. And cattlemen can't do anything. You can't touch them, nothing. They're pushing some legislation right now to try maybe doing some different things for hazing, but right now we can't touch them. CDFW's got some pretty strong limitations right now.
Okay, and yeah, that's affecting Northern California, but they're, like, what, in the last 5 or 6 years, they've been trickling here.
Right, there's a pack right here in Tulare, and there's one that's been very active over in Kern County going back and forth as well. So, I mean, we're all worried about it because, again, there has to be balance, there has to be education. There's people fighting that the wolves need to stay. Well, there needs to be a balance.
Right.
And we need to work there. And some are collared. And I would say out of those 100, maybe 15 or 20 are collared. That's it.
Right. And then I guess, I mean, and I'm not trying to find a workaround here, but if you did have working dogs, I mean, how does that work out with the state? Because you have them there for a purpose.
Yep.
Are they allowed to molest the wolves, or are they
They're
not?
Allowed, but it, you know, it's like they sent a strike team from CDFW last year, and they were working 24/7 with drones and everything else, but there's wolves going every direction, and they can't even take care of it with a strike team, so a single dog or a couple dogs
Either. And you got a pack of wolves, and interesting.
And once your cattle get, you know, run around with that, you know, they're not breeding back because they're always agitated.
Mm-hmm.
The calves don't grow, the cows don't put on weight. I mean, everything starts falling off.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, I haven't seen those problems like here other than we've had them, but yeah, I've been hearing about it quite a bit, and that would be a hard one. Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, and I've heard people bringing it up here locally, you know, on the kind of the anti-ag side of things. It's like, what about, well, I don't know why we're talking about it, because we, you know what I mean? But we have had a few here.
Right.
And yeah, that's an interesting point. You know, my family, we had a lot in Wyoming. We had a lot in Montana and Oregon. Mm-hmm. My ranching was mostly in Oregon, to be honest. That was my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
But it was a problem in Montana. It was a problem in Wyoming. It wasn't a problem really for us in Oregon at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was an incident that happened, I think, about 3 weeks ago in Colorado where they actually shot a wolf because it was actively engaging and attacking a calf. So they actually shot it. So we'll see where that goes, because that's the first of its kind. But for the most part, no rancher has taken or cattleman has taken any wolves in California.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think, it's probably not worth the consequences of that.
I would say the local sheriffs have been really, really good up in Northern California. And I know our sheriff here is good to work with. We have a great relationship. So I would see if something did happen here, we'd all sit down.
So then just, we're going to run out of time here pretty quick, but as far as, you know, federal lands, BLM land, I know there's a lot of contracts to be had. You guys get involved with that a whole lot and get involved with the feds? And
we do, both on the state and national level. That's another one of our priorities, is working on those federal lands and getting grazing back on them. There's some bio generation stuff going on with one of our members up in Stanislaus County, and she's working on stuff that to make biogeneration. But anything to clean that forest floor, just because there's so many decadent fuels, trees, and with all the pine bug kill and all that stuff, then we're trying to, you know, eliminate some of those fuel beds as well. But grazing, yeah.
We do have a minute. The one thing I think we didn't bring up, was that the screw worm or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah. The screw worm, yeah, that's kind of a national concern, started down in Mexico. I know we're limited on time. There's been 12 cases in the U.S., 11 in Texas, one in New Mexico. I want everyone just to know it's not a food safety issue. And if it happens in a certain area, they put a restriction on that area. So, yeah.
All right. What day with Cattlemen's again?
July 16th.
July 16th. Yep. So I'd get your tickets. They're going to be coming out soon enough. Keep an eye at the Mid-State Fair. Anthony, thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks for having me, Eric.
All right, everybody. Have a great week, and I look forward to speaking with you again. Thanks for listening to the Sound Off.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals, across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.